I know a few comments are in order. It is a pleasure and honor to be here. And let me state, I know you a whole lot better than you know me. The reason I say that, I am not from Indiana. I currently live there. I'm not from there. Some of you have mentioned already about my parents. You see, I was born in Danville, Kentucky. All my family is from Danville, Harrisburg, Parksville, this whole region. And some of you have already mentioned about some of my parents already. I've been attending, believe it or not, I've gone down this highway, Highway 127, so many times. I cannot even count. And I've stopped in over the years. Worshipped here, been here. Trust me, I find it a pleasure to be here today. But let's begin by noticing our lesson for this morning. There's an exhortation that's found in Ephesians chapter 4. It's a passage we actually briefly touched on this morning in our Bible class. But before I get there, let me ask you something. Have you ever watched a movie? I don't know about you, but I'm not a Lifetime person. My wife is. I'm not. Because the movies there are just seemingly so emotional at times. But have you ever watched a movie where the whole plot of the movie is someone seeking and trying to get someone else's forgiveness? And you're wondering as you go throughout the movie, will they attain that person's forgiveness? And so you're wondering, how important is forgiveness? But you see, that's how Hollywood portrays forgiveness. But that should be the way of life for a Christian. That's the way it should be. I want you to now focus on what it states in Ephesians chapter 4. Verses 31 and 32, it states, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. What a wonderful passage. But you look at these words, and if you don't understand the words, it's not going to mean anything to you. You look at the words, it's like, well, I'm supposed to put away these evil things. I'm supposed to put away these awful attributes and characteristics. And I need to forgive even as Christ has forgiven me. But what do those words mean? We're to put away bitterness. Bitter hatred or holding a grudge. You're not to have it. Wrath. A passionate anger that results in verbal abuse or violence. Clamor. Loud arguments and quarrels. Evil speaking refers to slander or trying to harm someone else's good name or abuse of speech. Malice. A desire to hurt someone. It's obvious that these things have no place in the life of a Christian. But what else does it state as you go through? He says, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. What are we therefore to do? To forgive. But I don't think we truly understand what that means. As you continue on, I understand that I cannot seek personal vengeance for myself. If someone did me wrong, I need to learn this principle about forgiving others. There's a plaque, maybe you know it, that states, I don't get mad, I get even. You know that plaque? And sometimes that's the way it's portrayed in movies and television and that's all you see. People are trying to get even. People are trying to say, I'm going to get my way. But when the Jews hurled insults at Jesus, how did Jesus handle it? When he suffered, he did not make any threats. It says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 23 at the end of that verse, he committed himself to him who judges righteously. What did Jesus do? He tried to get even. He tried to get back at the person. No. Jesus did not try to seek insult, injury for injury, but he left a perfect example. He left his vengeance to God. Here's a passage. I do like the fact in the Bible class, y'all were doing some quoting. This is one of the passages every morning in my house we would have Bible studies for my children. And they would memorize passages. If you're looking to memorize a passage, this is a good one. Romans chapter 12. This is a good passage to memorize. But notice the characteristics. You begin in verse 9. And actually, you can see the whole passage, the whole chapter. But it states in verse 9, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. And be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. How are we to be? You're not to give place to wrath, because it states, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I don't need, if someone does me wrong, am I just to simply go out and try to get even? Is that what I'm trying to do? Is that the Christian life? It's not. I need to forgive. I need to understand that it's not for me to take vengeance. God will. I need to serve Him. And because I am to leave my judgments to God, this is something I must do. Jesus stated in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 12, now the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus stated in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 12, you see in the model prayer, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Do we understand what it's like to forgive? The importance of that? Well, what does it mean to forgive? It means to send away or to remit. And when God forgives, it means like the wrong has never been done. And Jesus teaches us a principle. How do I get rid of clamoring, evil speaking, and all of these things? Well, here's the principle. If you have your Bibles, we're going to spend most of our time here. Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. And verse 21. Peter came and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times. Simple question. How many times shall I forgive? Up to seven. He's like, that's seven times. Okay, that's not very many. But that is actually a pretty decent amount. You see, the Jewish rabbis taught three times. That's what they taught. Peter doubled that. Added the next one. You know how we add one to make sure we are plenty? Seven, that's a good number. Up to seven times? Jesus said, no. 70 times seven. That's a big number. Those who like math, I adore math. I don't know about you, but I adore math. That actually comes to 490. Is this a literal number? Does that mean I'm supposed to keep a ledger and say, okay, you rung me this time and check, okay, here's another one, and keep a ledger and count? By the time I get to the 491st time, okay, I did my 499, I will come after you. Is that what he's talking about? I don't think so. No, you keep on forgiving. You keep acting right. And this parable that Jesus now offers is tremendous. He relates this parable to enforce the point, and you find the parable written in verses 23 through verse 35. In verse 23, therefore the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he began to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. Now let's stop there. Now, if you don't know what a talent is, this parable is not going to mean anything to you. Now, you may go to the side margins of your Bible and say, oh, I can look this up. I don't know what this means. If you don't understand what 10,000 talents is, you're not going to understand this. And when he had begun to sell accounts, here's this man who owed 10,000 talents, but he was not able to pay. His master commanded that he be sold and his wife and children and they all they had, that a payment be made. Now, give you an idea about 10,000 talents. Here's a way to look at it. This is a huge, significant debt. A talent is worth between $1,000 and $3,000 by modern estimate. That is in the range of $10 to $12 million up to $1 billion. I don't know about you, but if you have that in your bank account, I would like to talk to you after services. How many people have that? I don't know about you, but I'm not even close to that. To give you another idea, how many times do we talk about Solomon and the greatness and wealth of Solomon? Did you ever think about Solomon's temple? Think about that for a moment. Solomon's temple, all the gold, all the glory, and all the extravagance. That temple, 8,000 talents. This servant owed more in Solomon's temple. Does that put things in perspective? Here's another way to look at it. You like taxes? All the taxes from Judea, Samaria, Galilee, and two other provinces was 800 talents, and this is 10 times more than that. You get an idea, a picture in your head about how much the servant owed? 10,000 talents? Is there any way in this world he could pay that back? No. Not a chance. The king threatened to sell the servant and his entire family into slavery. The servant demanded time to repay. And what did the king do? He went farther than expected. He forgave the entire debt. Just forgave it. A debt this servant couldn't pay was gone. Why clean? How would you feel? The passage continues. After he forgave his debt in verse 27, verse 28, but the servant went out, found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He laid hands on him, took him, and said, took him by the throat, pay me what you owe. 100 denarii. Now again, that doesn't mean anything to us. I don't go pay with denarii. I just don't. That's equivalent, based upon Matthew chapter 20, verse 2 and verse 13. A denarii is basically a common day's wage. So this is basically 3 months, 3.5 months. That is a debt that you could repay. This unforgiving servant wasn't willing to forgive. Instead, he wanted to bring the wrath and fury and sack this fellow servant and throw him into prison and so he can get his money, even though, yeah, he had just been forgiven of this incredibly large debt. Jesus makes a known application, verse 35. So my Heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. He's saying you need to forgive. This brother was forgiven of this incredibly large debt, but he wasn't willing to go out and forgive a fellow servant. He was condemned. We'll apply this to us for just a moment. Have you ever heard someone complain? You don't know what they did to me. I just cannot forgive them. You don't understand. Have you ever heard someone say that? Is that true? Is that how you feel? That you cannot possibly forgive this individual. Okay, let me ask you this. Were you thrown into a pit? Were you sold into slavery? Were you separated from your family for over 18 years? You see, that's what the brothers of Joseph did. They sold them into slavery in Egypt. And yet, when Jacob died, what was Joseph's response? They were scared for their lives. Joseph said he would forgive them. He's not in the place of God. Has that ever happened to you? Can you forgive? Let me ask you another situation. Another scenario. Has someone unreasonably demanded your death, even though you're innocent? You can be innocent of all charges. But your people want you to die. A murderer is released instead of you. You're so brutally beaten, it almost kills you. A crown of thorns is placed upon your head. They strip you of your clothes, put ridiculous clothes on you instead, mock you, hit you, spit upon you, make you carry your own cross to your death, give you vinegar to drink, nail you to a cross, and ridicule you while you're dying. Has that ever happened to you? I'm guessing probably not. then why in the world are we going to say, that person's done so much to me, I just can't forgive them? You have no idea how much they hurt me. How can we possibly say something like that? Jesus Christ responded, well, upon dying upon the cross, He said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. He said, forgive them. Forgiveness is something we must do. It's not an option. You go right back to what we started off there in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. You're to put off anger and anger, clamor and evil speaking. Those things are being put off from you. Why? But be tenderhearted, kind, forgiving. Because you have never experienced some of these things. And you can. We're commanded to. We have something that's truly tremendous. Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. Bearing with one another. Notice what it states. Forgiving one another, even if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must do. Forgiveness. That's important. And sometimes it's hard for us to understand. We need to. I'm going to do a little something here. I don't typically do this. This is not something that I typically do at all. But when I go to a place for the very first time, I do. You understand what it means to have your sins washed away? I promise you that's a debt you can never pay back. You cannot even come. You have the ability to be in heaven, to be with God forever. And I'm not talking just by wearing the name Christian. I'm talking about being a Christian and having your sins forgiven. I'm going to tell you a story. It's a story I hate telling. It's a story which I wish never happened. You may know the preacher Art Ogden. He was there on this particular night. I was preaching in Washington, Pennsylvania. He told me to tell it. He told it everywhere he went. He told me to do the same. He says there could be no more powerful invitation than that story. I didn't understand that for 10 years. I do now. Invitation. A lot of times, this is the time that people turn you off. They say, oh, I've heard this 1,000 times. I've heard this so many times, I can basically quote the invitation. Let me tell you something. You're in this audience this evening, this morning. You're not living that Christian life. Why not? God is willing to forgive you of a debt you cannot pay back. You owe so much. It's hard, even hard to comprehend and get our arms around. is a story. I feel sorry for you because you're going to hate sitting here, I promise you. There was a man by the name of Bob Batson. You probably never heard of Bob. I got to know Bob. He was a good guy. And by all accounts, he was a good, faithful Christian. So Bob had a problem. He had some things in his life that he needed to straighten out. He didn't want to. It's very similar, even though he was in his 70s. It's not exact by all means, but it reminded me of 1 Corinthians chapter 5, a man having his father's wife. Very simple. Man was in sin. Even though he was there every time the doors were open, he sat close as he possibly could. When I would speak, he was just, I could reach out and touch him. This particular night, our Ogden actually came into our assembly. He's just passing through. Him and his wife, a friend of his and his wife. They just happened to be there. Think it's providence of God. By some odd chance, I don't know the reason why, but he got completely off subject. He stood up in the Bible class. Put his right finger right in my face and says, "You're telling me I'm going to hell." And I simply had to tell him that that's not my call to make. He asked me a question a second time. And I simply had to tell him, I'm in my early 20s. I was a young boy. You have to repent. You have to change. Next thing I knew, he grabbed his heart and died before he hit the floor. 6 inches from my feet. Now you can see why I don't like telling that story. That's a memory I wish I could erase from my brain. It's something I wish I never experienced. But here was a man who looked and acted like a Christian. He had the name of Christian. But when you went a little deeper, his life wasn't. He had some things he had to change. Art, who was there, would agree with everything I'm saying. He's since passed away. What's holding you back? What? You think time is going to make a difference? You think anything in the world matters when it comes to your salvation with God? God is willing to forgive you of a debt you cannot pay back. So my question to you is simply this. Are you a Christian? If you're not, why not? Are you a Christian and you need to repent of some sin in your life? Why don't you respond? I don't understand. Because I promise you, I hate to be gross or anything like that. But if you pass on in this audience and you have sin in your life, I'll use you as an example too. I don't want to. I really don't. How can we help you? You can have your sins washed away. You can be forgiven. You can be with God forever in heaven. How great is that? And you can, just by responding to the invitation, doing what God told you to do. If there's any way we can help you, please make your wishes known as we stand, as we sing.